Douglas Crook, Sunday PM, December 27th, 2009.
Before we actually have the water baptismal, I think it's important that we have a lesson on what we're doing here tonight. For many, it won't be new. For others, it might be new. And for these children that have expressed a desire to be baptized, it's important that they hear it new and afresh. And God is looking for worshipers that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to understand the will of God. And He has given us, for all of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, we've been given that ability to understand and submit to and to obey the will of God. And a part of the will of God is what we're going to do tonight, and that is water baptism. If you'll open with me to Acts chapter 2 to begin with, I'll try to be as brief as I can and yet not treat what we are considering as trivial. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 38. Everything we do in our worship and in our day-to-day life needs to be based on an understanding of the will of God. The Bible tells us an unusual and some would think would be a severe statement, that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? But what that means is what we need to always base everything that we do and say on an understanding of what the Word of God declares to be right and true. You can't have faith if God hasn't said it. But everything that God has said in His Word, we can believe, and we can base our life on it. And so we can live a life of faith, a life of righteousness. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, on the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, we read these words. Now, when they heard this, that is the multitude that Peter was preaching to, when they heard what he said about Jesus, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It's a good question. How should we respond to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for," or the Greek can be read and should be read in this case, "because of the remission of sins," the forgiveness of sins. Because your sins have been forgiven, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So these verses tell us three very important experiences in the life of those who come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, repentance. And that leads to your sins being forgiven. What repentance means and what these children have expressed to me. And by the way, some may question, should children, some of them, the age that they are, should they really be baptized? You know how Jesus responded to those adults that said, this faith in Jesus and understanding God, that's only for adults. You need to keep the children away. How did Jesus respond to that? Suffer the little children. Let the little children come unto me. Because he said, that's the kingdom of God. Unless we come with the same simple faith that a child has, unless we as adults or anyone comes to have that same simple faith, you can't enter in to be a citizen of God's eternal kingdom. So we understand that, and every child is different, every understanding is different, that when they come to a place where they're able to understand the invitation of the gospel, and clearly they will not understand the depth of what they're doing here tonight, but then I know a lot of adults who still don't understand the depth of what we're doing here tonight. But I believe that their faith is clear and sincere. They've expressed it. I make them express it to me, and not just in ways that they'll repeat what they've been told, but in their own words. And it is a very simple faith. They love Jesus and know that He died to save them from their sins, that they might go to heaven. That's how simple the gospel is. But there are three things: repentance, That is, recognize you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and that Jesus is the only Savior. All of those things are part of faith that leads to repentance. And then Peter says, and be baptized in Jesus' name. He's speaking about water baptism. Not in order to wash your sins away, but because your sins have been washed away. Obey the Lord in this ceremony, which is very symbolic. As I spoke with the kids, I asked them what symbols were. Kendall was able to tell me what a symbol was. It's not the real thing, but it points you to the real thing. So they're not being saved tonight. They're not being cleansed. But they're pointing to the time when Jesus did save them and cleanse them from their sin. So water baptism is that symbol. And then the third thing that Peter mentions here is the need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those are three experiences that are to be the experience of every child of God. So this evening, we have these children that have asked Jesus into their heart, and they understand that it's obedience to God to be baptized in water in Jesus' name. I believe every believer should be baptized if it's physically possible. There are times when it's not. Does it make you more saved? Does it make you more loved of Jesus, by Jesus? But it is a public demonstration of a change that took place in your life. It's to mark a turning point in your life. Now, this is really true in the early church. When the first converts were full adults that have already lived their life, already made the mistakes of sin, but something drastic happened when they came to know Jesus. And they wanted everybody around them to know what and who made that change in their life. And being baptized in Jesus' name was a public declaration of that. In fact, it was such a clear statement that if you see the change in me, it's because Jesus made that change. And I want you to know that change is Jesus. It was such a dramatic statement that it led to many early believers being killed because they were baptized in Jesus' name. That's how serious this faith in obedience to the will of God really is. Now, these children have not lived a life and made all the mistakes that an adult has made, so they're not declaring so much, there's a drastic change in the direction of my life because I was going this way, but now I'm going this way. But it is a statement that they believe that God is setting their life in a direction that will honor Him. And that because they were saved, and because they are saved, they're making this declaration. It's very public. I mentioned to the children that not only is it a demonstration of what Jesus did for them, that when they go into the water, they're saying, Jesus went into the grave because of me and for me. And He died. And when He died, He paid the debt of my sin. But when He came out of the grave and when I come up out of the water, I'm pointing to when Jesus came out of the grave. That's the symbolism. And when He came out of the grave, Jesus came out to live not just for Himself, but He lives for the glory of God the Father. And so what these children are saying as they come out, and the reason we do a public ceremony, and I made this clear to the children, that we're watching this. I mean, you know, they could have done it in their own. In fact, some of them have been practicing in their bathtub, I hear. but we're doing a public demonstration here, and it's very dramatic. If some of you were here last time with the water baptism, you saw how dramatic and traumatic the ceremony can be, because you have to submit yourself to the power of someone else to put you in a place of weakness and submit to that and to go under the water and then to trust that they're going to bring you up out of that water. And it's a public demonstration because what they're saying is not only do they want you to know that they love Jesus and that they've asked Jesus into their heart, but they're also giving us authority. Because they're saying, I want to live for Jesus from this point on. So I've told them that grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, brother Doug, now has the right when they, as they grow and as they maybe make some choices that aren't pleasing to the Lord, they're giving me the right to give them a call and say, wait a minute, I love you, and you said you love Jesus, but your actions right now aren't showing that you love Jesus. And so I just want to remind you that God has something better for you. And so when they get that call, maybe they're teenagers and I hear from their parents and I give them a call and they say, well, Brother Doug's on the line. Oh, I don't want to hear what he's got to say. Well, you made me get wet. You made a public demonstration. I've got every right to call you. And that's part of what water baptism is. It's not just saying what Jesus did, but what Jesus is going to do for you every day of your life for eternity. And that's part of the demonstration of what we're doing here. There are a number of scriptures. We won't go into all of them. There is a track in the track rack, and it's also available online, that will take you step by step through all of the scriptures of why we baptize, what it is symbolic of, and why we baptize in Jesus' name, and why we submerge in, rather than sprinkle, and why it is important. Notice when Peter spoke to the multitude, before he told them to be baptized, he told them to repent. And this is why it's important for baptism to be done for those who have expressed faith in Jesus Christ. Because until that expression can be made, until that understanding of a need of a Savior and an expression of faith in Jesus Christ, water baptism has no meaning. It's without meaning, because before you're baptized in Jesus' name, you must repent. And as we can see, you can do that at a very young age, understand that you're a sinner and need a Savior. But that step must be taken first. So again, all of the scriptures are in that track that you can make a study of it, and I hope that you do, because you do need to understand what we're doing and why we are doing it. When we think of the submerging rather than sprinkling, it, to me, it's such an important step. Jesus didn't just get sprinkled with death. He knew the horrors of the depth of death. There's a psalm that prophesies the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in Psalm 69. And there it talks about him being fully immersed in the deep waters that flooded over him, speaking of a prophesying of his death, that he was going to die. Jesus paid the debt in full. And this is why when we go fully under the water, in fact, I think it was last time I had to dunk twice, one to get fully under, because the symbolism matters. He didn't just get sprinkled with death. He tasted death to the fullest in order that you and I might have life and that we will never know the horrors of death. So with that in mind, we'll begin to the process here. If we'll sing a chorus to begin with, this is Kendall Winneke. Kendall, I've got a question for you. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins, and that he rose again the third day, and that he's coming back again for those who believe?
I believe.
On the basis of your confession, I baptize you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Taylor Marie Serre. Taylor, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt of your sin and that he rose again the third day?
Yes.
On the basis of your confession in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Avery Linton. Avery, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins and that he rose again the third day?
Yes, I believe.
Basis of your confession in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's it. This is Michael Carollo. Michael, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins? Do you believe he rose again the third day? Do you believe he's coming back again? On the basis of your confession, I baptize you in Jesus' name. I mentioned to the children that we have the right that they're giving us because we witnessed their public statement here of faith in Jesus, not only that he saved them, but they desire for that life to dominate them, to direct them, set the course of their life. But we also have an accountability, and that is to continue to pray for these children. What we do tonight is very quick. It's over. But we have a responsibility, especially those that are home folk here, for our children and young people, our families that are in this assembly. We have a responsibility, a privilege, to pray for one another. And we need to pray for our children. This world has always been a dangerous world, physically, but spiritually is the greatest danger to our children. The darkness, the spiritual darkness, is getting greater and greater. The opposition to the simple proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is only going to grow greater. These children need our support. They need our encouragement. They need our examples to live a life before them, that they can see it's possible to please God in this age. And the benefits, not only someday when the crown is given, that's an eternal benefit, that we should understand the value of that. But there's value right now to living a life that honors the Lord. In fact, there's no better life to live in this world than a life of faith. It's full of God's protection and provision and blessing. We thank God for that. I'm going to ask Brother Freestone if he'll come up and dismiss us in a word of prayer and to call upon the Lord for these children specifically, that the Lord would continue to keep his hand on them, not only physically but spiritually. So, Brother Freestone, if you'll come. Let's stand.
Father, we are grateful that we can gather together as a family of faith. We are grateful that we can receive others into this family of faith, whether they be as young as these were or as old as some of us are. We ask that this observance will be etched into the memory of each of these children, that they will remember to the end of their days on earth. And as they grow and learn and mature in life, that they will grow and learn and mature in faith. We also pray that every one of us here, a member of this family of faith, will know that we are responsible to them to be examples for them in life, to be there for them when they need a spiritual or emotional uplift, and to be a support for their faith. And that just as they are responsible to you in their declaration before us, so we likewise have a responsibility to them in these matters. We thank you for this time. We thank you for these little ones. We thank you for their parents. We thank you for this whole family of faith. May we all be true to each other and to you. In Jesus' name, amen.